Of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. We can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
And welcome on in, welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Rain or shine, we are rocking and rolling. Doesn't matter what time of year it is. Whether we're talking mid-June, late October, early February, we're rocking and rolling right here on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Soon to be live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. What's on tap for the show here today? We'll get to the jump here very, very shortly. Aberdeen Smitty's baseball from this last weekend. We'll take a look at how they did down south. Also coming up about a quarter past the hour, we'll be joined live on the phone line by Joe Gustafson of the Claremont Honkers baseball squad. Talk a little baseball there with him. We'll talk some golf, of course, yesterday with the U.S. Open. We'll talk some Minnesota Twins, a really, really tough go for them down south in the Lone Star State after losing 2 out of 3 at home to Texas. And candidly, I thought to myself, this is kind of a big series because, well, you just did not play very well at all in the midst of that game or that series against Texas. I mean, you lose 2 of those 3 games in very non-competitive fashion. You lose 16-4 in game 1 and then 16-3 in game 3. And it's like, after you just got basically curb stomped in that series for 2 of the 3 games, how do you respond with that? And to be quite frank, the Twins played some pretty solid baseball over the weekend, just have nothing to show for it, losing all 3 of those games down south in Houston. We'll talk about that. Of course, Brown County Speedway, the races from this last Friday, those were canceled. And obviously, it's pretty early in the work week to look ahead too much of the weather forecast. Sometimes my parents do this. They're like, coming out to visit, and they go, well, what's the weather going to be looking like for this? It's just like, well, you're 13 days away. I have no idea what the weather's going to be like. But early, early, early outlook for Friday, 20% chance for some precip, otherwise sunny, and 87 degrees. So hopefully that 20 becomes a 0, and we get some Brown County Speedway racing in the mix, of course, coming up for this Friday. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the Cobra, Matt McClure. How are you, sir?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm feeling good this morning. I said to you off the air that I'm doing my first cup of coffee since, I don't know, probably about a week and a half or so. So I'm getting right back on that horse.
Yeah, you got to, man. You got to. I'm glad you're back on the coffee horse. Okay. I've had a cup or two already today. Feel good.
You know what? I'm a little disappointed in you.
Why is that?
You said you were wearing red today.
Yeah, well, now I'm wearing blue.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is this, folks. We're playing a little golf today out at 1 o'clock out at Moccasin Creek Country Club for the Boys and Girls Club. And Matt, off the air, not trying to air your dirty laundry or anything like that. I don't even think it's dirty laundry at all. But you were like, hey, you know, Monday we're playing a little golf, a little Tiger Red.
Yeah.
That's what I did. So I'm wearing the Tiger Red. Now you're leaving me alone on the island? What's going on?
Somebody's wearing Tiger Red. It just maybe it'll have some good luck for you.
We'll see. We'll see about that. Looking forward to it. But a big happy belated Father's Day to all the dads out there. I hope you enjoyed your Father's Day there yesterday. An opportunity to spend some time with your son, your daughter, daughters or sons, wife, all that good stuff. Just some opportunities to sit back and relax. And did you give your pops a Father's Day card or a case of beer or something like that? Did you overnight him some beer or a little FaceTime action?
I gave him a call, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we talk all the time. I was like, yeah, now I have an excuse to call you today.
Yeah.
Usually I'll call him randomly. Today, it's Father's Day, so I have an excuse to call you.
There you go. What did Pops do? What did Pops
do? No, they went out. They went out to dinner. My dad, mom, brother. My brother works in the city in Philly.
Okay.
So before he went to work, he works like a late. Oh, he actually works the night shift. So he works like 8 to 4 in the morning. So right. It's a little bit different than what we do here. Now he's coming home from work when I'm coming in. It's kind of funny. But he on his way into work, he works a little bit later. So they went out to dinner near the city, and it all went well for him. So that's good. That's good. And talking to the family, I'll be going home this week as well, later on this week, for a family wedding. My cousin's getting married, so it'll be good to see the fam here this weekend.
No doubt about it. Big shout out to all the dads out there. By the way, my mother-in-law got me these bad boys for Father's Day.
Ah.
Get a load of these guys.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm a big fan of these bad boys. Boom.
Look at those.
For those of you that are watching on the internet, it looks like it's just audio here today.
Yeah.
I got these, like, what would you even call these? I mean, they're awesome sunglasses, but they got, like, the polarized lenses.
I was going to say, are they polarized?
Yeah, polarized lenses, red, white, and blue. Got the little American flags on the side here.
America?
I'm an American.
I'll tell you, you pull those off pretty good, man.
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to be rocking these today on the golf course.
There you go. Look good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I live in America. I'd rather live here than Zimbabwe or, I don't know, Uganda or, I don't know, Canada. So, yeah, I'm an American, so rocking and roll it for sure. And of course, Flag Day there on Saturday there, too. So, flying that American flag. All right, he is the Cobra. We call him just that. Let's get to the jump right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And, of course, the weekend that was had a little bit of action in terms of some high school golf, and we talk about that, or high school golf, in terms of golf, the U.S. Open. And by the way, as the kids say nowadays, I gotta pop this guy up here. This, in my opinion, we talk about the NFL on Fox, you know, they got these great theme songs. This is low-key an amazing theme song for the U.S. Open. You know what I mean? I love this.
Very underrated.
Very underrated. The song, of course, is In Celebration of Man by Yanni. I don't know many people out there that listen to Yanni. My dad's actually, ironically, one of them. Listened to a lot of Yanni back in the day. It's weird. But how good is this? When this song hits, you know action's about to go down.
Yeah, you hear that song, you know it's the hardest golf tournament in the world going down. U.S. Open. And I'll tell you what, we had a fun one there yesterday. Did you watch that?
Oh, yeah. I was all in on that. And if it was any other day, I feel like my wife really would have put the foot down. It's Father's Day, you know?
It's your day.
That's my day. I'm watching as much golf as I want. So in between mowing the lawn and doing the burgers and this, that, and the third, I'm watching golf yesterday. It was on in the background. My little two-year-old, she's a big fan of Coco Melon. I was just like, nope, we're not watching Coco Melon today. Sorry. Dad says we're watching golf.
It's Dad's day.
It's Dad's day. Absolutely. And it really was a great tournament. There's no two ways about it. But there was a lot of ups and downs with the tournament. And by ups and downs, I mean actions going, actions not going. You had all sorts of rain delays, and the weather, of course, was not very great at all. And I thought it was fantastic because during the rain delay, they played some old-school Tiger Woods, the 2008 U.S. Open.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you know this or not. I've shared this story multiple times on the air, but that's the reason why I picked up a club in the first place, mm-hmm. was Tiger's 2008 tournament against Rocco Mediate, where he came back and won there on day 4. But they showed some great highlights of that tournament. It just catapulted me right back there to 2008. I was getting chills up and down my arms. I'm like, man, Tiger, I just miss him on TV. I just miss him.
Yeah, I miss him too. That's for sure. And you know what's crazy about that? He did that on like one knee.
Yes.
He was dealing with an injury, I think, with his right knee. And went to a playoff, if memory serves. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, the 18-hole playoff, you don't see that every day. I think the U.S. Open, actually, they were talking about that if it would have been a tie. I think it's a two-hole cumulative score now.
Okay.
So it's not the old 18-hole playoff. They got rid of that rule. But, yeah, that can you imagine, like, today?
Yes.
Get two guys plus one? Because it was going to go today if they tied.
Sure. It was
pretty
close.
An 18-hole playoff today would have been pretty cool.
That would have been fantastic. I think I might have came down with a case of the senioritis or something like that. Oh, sorry, I got to watch. I got to stay at home. But it was a really, really great day. Great weekend of golf there as well. And I saw a couple of great tweets on social media. The number of dads who are about to wake up from their afternoon nap and go, oh, Tiger's in contention. How great is this? A lot of that for sure. And it was fantastic. And it did not start fantastically for the winner of the tournament, J.J. Spahn. Of course, his shot on 18 is just impossible. I don't know how he made that. But, you know, it's not necessarily all sunshine and roses when you win the U.S. Open. Even on Father's Day, you still have to do dad duty. Check this out.
Well, today I was running to CVS in downtown because my daughter had a stomach bug and was vomiting all night long.
Man.
So I was just like, okay. Like, my wife was up at 3 a.m. and she's like, Violet's vomiting, although she can't keep anything down. And so it was kind of a rough start to the morning. I'm not blaming that on my start, but it was just kind of like it fit the mold of what was going on, the chaos. But my daughter always asked me every time dad goes golfing, she's like, were you the winner today? And I'm just sometimes like, yeah, I was. And then she's like, well, where's my surprise? But so today she's like, you're the winner today. Like, she got to see it. Like, she didn't have to ask me. So that was a really fun moment.
Can you imagine? You are right there in the mix. Biggest day of your life as a professional anything.
Yep.
And then 3 a.m. rolls around and your son or your daughter, your kid, heck, even your dog, I don't know, some sort of adversity strikes and you got to go out and turn it around and make it happen. J.J. Spahn did it, and a big shout out to him. Wow.
Makes sense why he started off a little bit slow. He was 5
does.
Over 40 on the front, but those two shots he had on 17 and 18, he drove the green on 17.
Yeah.
And then he hits that 64-footer for the win. The angle that I saw it's like behind the hole. There's so much movement. He did get help, though, because Victor Hovland, before him, he got to see the putt.
Right.
I think that really helped him because
right.
he got the speed
yep.
where it went. I mean, they were identical putts.
Just about, yeah.
So, and Hovland needed to birdie that just to have a chance in case Spahn three-putted. But, wow, I mean, what a story. You don't really see, or it feels like recently, a guy that maybe isn't on your radar who has a good day one, and then he just kind of falls off as the tournament progresses. Like, maybe he's got a lead in the first day, and then the second day he struggles, third day he struggles, and then the fourth he's like, where is this guy who was leading Thursday? Mm-hmm. This tournament was different. If you got off to a good start on Thursday, you were kind of in the mix throughout the tournament. That you don't really see that often. There wasn't a guy that came out of 28th place
right.
to finish in second. McIntyre was down a lot, who finished in second, but he was like still in the top 10. So interesting from that perspective. And no, it's funny. Scottie Scheffler, he didn't play well at all.
He was also kind of just lurking.
He was just there.
Yeah.
Was he three over, four over?
I think four over, yeah.
Four over? I mean, he was literally, if he birdied, he had a couple birdie looks on the back yesterday. If he gets to plus one.
Unbelievable.
He finished top 10. It's like he played awful. He'd tell you he played awful. There he is, top 10 finish.
Yeah, I think he finished tied for eighth or something like that.
Crazy.
Four over par, and I immediately thought of you. You're just like, yeah, he's just always lurking. He's just there. And, yeah, he had another kind of decent, solid tournament. All things considered, it's a really tough course. But, yeah, you're finishing the top 10 on that course, you're doing something right. So, big congratulations to those guys and a really great weekend of golf. And I got to toss this out there because it's my alma mater. Big shout out goes to the Libertyville Wildcats High School Baseball. First state championship since 1976.
Hey!
LHS Wildcats. Yeah, good stuff indeed. How about Josh Holst, your hurler? He's committed to play at Air Force, by the way.
Okay.
Complete game two-hitter, 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 run. He struck out 8 in the victory as Libertyville beats McHenry, the Warriors, 4-1, your final score. And oh, by the way, Holst at the dish, 1-for-2 with 3 runs batted in. So he was helping his cause out at the plate there too.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. Pitchers and hitters. Can you pitch well and hit well? He did that as well. And, yeah, shout out to your old alma mater there with the championship.
I'm pretty fired up about that. And that's probably about the last time I'll talk about Libertyville baseball on the air, unless they repeat next year. But before we bring in Mr. Gustafson, I want to toss this out here as well. It's not just all about me here on the Sports Hub. How about Cobra's neck of the woods? Did you see this story over the weekend? A balk-off championship victory. The Pennsylvania 6A High School Baseball Championship was decided in the rarest fashions this last weekend when North Penn pitcher Caleb Price balked with the bases loaded in the bottom of the 13th inning.
Wow.
To force the only run home against Cedar Cliff, 1-0 your final score there. A state championship victory comes on a balk.
Is that in high school?
High school baseball.
Hey, you know what's funny? You said Cedar Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
My dad graduated from Cedar Cliff.
Really?
My cousin, Tyler, he played on the baseball team from Cedar Cliff. That's
okay.
In Harrisburg.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's my dad's alma mater. That's crazy.
How about that? Wow. 6 degrees of separation. But can you imagine a state championship on a balk?
Yeah, that stinks, man. And it, what was it, 0-0?
0-0.
0-0, bases loaded. You got to stay set. It's difficult. And, you know, it would really stink if it was one of those 50-50 calls. If it was obvious, you got to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like a 50-50, was it a balk? Maybe. Then I'd say that's a tough way to lose.
By the way, here's the video of it. And, of course, just keep your eyes on the pitcher right here. And to me, you know, you talk about got to stay set.
Yep, there it is.
There's a little move right there with the leg. And I get it. It's totally the right call.
That's the right call.
But to me, I'm just like, why is that even a rule? The baseball purist is like, it's a rule because of X, Y, and Z. But I look at that and I just say, is that really a – oh, it stinks.
Yeah, it stinks. It's definitely a balk.
It's the right call.
It's the right call. And wow, what a bad way to end a game.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
it's just a tiny.
What's
little
that celebration like? Okay.
Yeah, like the guy runs home and they're all jumping up and down. The video cuts off here, but it's just a slight twinge in the right knee, and it's the right call, 100%.
Wonder who called it. It looked like the home plate umpire
home
was right
umpire
on it.
Called it, yeah.
Because it's funny, how's the home plate umpire see that? The guy, there's a field ump, he's looking right ahead at it. What's
yeah.
he doing?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough way to lose a game, man.
Really tough way to lose. But again, it's the right call.
Not a fan of it.
I just, it just doesn't sit
Let
well.
The players settle it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, there's something about that call. Again.
And I feel bad for that kid, too, that
I
pitcher.
Too. I know it. I know it. It's, again, the right call, but that's the way it goes. Can you imagine, I feel for that kid. You know, he's gonna be living with that for a couple months, maybe even a couple years. I don't know, but got to flush it for sure. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some more baseball. Mr. Gustafson, Joe Gustafson, he'll be joining us next, talking some Claremont baseball, Claremont Honkers baseball after this. Sports Hubbing It Up on a Monday installment of the show right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury, and we are pleased to be joined on the phone line by the Claremont Honkers skipper, Joe Gustafson. He joins us on the phone line. Coach, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. And one thing I'm going to share about Matt McClure, a few years ago, and I appreciate this gesture, we were at a Legion tournament. He was covering it in the region, and one of our kids, Will Cutler, hit a big opposite field home run. Matt was able to take the live stream and a clip and text that to me as a gesture for the team that we could share, and I still appreciate that to this day. So I appreciate that and all you guys do for local sports around here.
Hey, Joe, no problem at all. It's my pleasure. I love doing that, cutting the highlights and things of that. And I remember that. That was a bomb to right center field. He absolutely crushed that ball. He was awesome. I mean, the catcher, he had amazing pop at his bat. I mean, he just looked the part on the diamond for sure.
Yep, and he went down to Dort, played a little baseball down at Dort College down there too. But, yeah, that was a good jump start. I think we ended up winning that game and one other and then getting beat again in the regional there. But, it was all good, and fun.
I mean, I think we are recording this. I think that's the best moment the Sports Hub's ever had. So I think we should probably end this conversation right now. That's perfect. Joe, you've been great. Have a great rest of but that's great because it kind of segues out of what we were just talking about. It's a home run. It's great. It's beautiful. It goes over the fence. Joe, we were just talking about high school baseball in Pennsylvania. There was a walk-off balk to win the state championship in Pennsylvania Class 6A. Can you ever recall being in a game like that with a walk-off balk? And, you know, we're talking about the pitch itself, or the non-pitch, I guess. And do you want to see something like that called in that situation, or do you want it seen to, I guess, get the result from the guys on the field? Or, I mean, how do you kind of approach something like that, I guess?
Well, you want it called if it's been addressed during the game. Typically, balks. At that level, at the beginning of the season, the umpires are usually really good about warning, telling the coaches, hey, tell your kid, educate him. Once you get to the final out of a state championship game, I'm sure he has been warned either throughout the game or throughout the year that you got to follow the rules, because a balk is a balk. And there are times when guys get picked off base in a critical situation, maybe that was a balk. So you got to call it, especially at that time in the year.
Is that something you focus with your kids, getting set, make sure that, hey, we got to be set before we pitch? Is that something you focus on and practice? I know it's kind of a learning curve for sure. Guys maybe aren't used to pitching from the stretch, you know, as the level changes, you know, when you're playing Little League and things of that nature. So do you focus on that when they get to the higher level?
Yeah, you do focus on it, because it's a thing that's emphasized. The umpires that we work with, the umpires around here are great. I mean, they're just the best. And they're either going to go up and talk to the pitcher, they're going to talk to us and say, hey, this is what your guy's doing. And we usually get a warning. You know, we usually work them, especially the beginning part of the year. But once you get to July and August, there doesn't really need to be any warnings. You know, they should have been warned throughout the year. But, no, that's what's kind of what's really nice about the different levels of ball that we have around here, is that you can start at a younger age. So you can start emphasizing that when the kids are, you know, 12, 13 years old, that they know what the concept of a balk is, and working on that, you know. And I guess a lot of times our guys have, you know, guys on base, so pitching from the stretch is something we do all the time.
That's some good perspective there for sure. Joe Gustafson joins us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And as you're saying that, I'm kind of chuckling to myself, and I'm going to ask you a question that I don't think I've ever asked anybody on the Sports Hub ever. When you see the managers get together with the home plate umpire to start the game, what are you guys talking about? You know, because you see it all the time before every single game, and, you know, it's kind of some housekeeping things, right? You know, if you hit down this area, you know, this is what's going to happen here. Can you kind of unpack what those conversations look like on a game-to-game basis?
Well, I hate to disappoint you, but it's a little boring. It is ground rules, the weather, could be mosquitoes, things like that. You know, basically, how many innings are we playing? If it's a doubleheader, are we going to go a 7 and a 5, 2 fives, things like that? But ground rules, you know, just kind of the current state of the field, things like that. So nothing too exciting. Also, just catching up, because a lot of times we all know each other, and it's just a good little conversation you can have out there at home plate.
Always been curious,
for sure. And Coach, we were talking a little bit before the show, kind of how's the summer been going, different kind of programs you guys got going on. It looks like you got softball, you got baseball, and it looks like the Pee Wee level as well. Can you just kind of talk about the state of the Claremont Hawkers right now?
Well, Claremont, there's pictures from the 1886 Claremont baseball team, and a lot of the old-timers will say that we have had continuous baseball in Claremont since then. So there's a sense of obligation, if you're in the Claremont area, that there needs to be a baseball program going in Claremont. And we have 6 baseball, from T-ball, U8, the Pee Wee Midget, which is like a U11 and U13, 14U, and then like the Legion/17U age, or 6 baseball teams. There's 4 high school. There's high school softball, U12, U14, U10, U8, girls softball. And then in July, we have 2 dates, probably the most rewarding nights. We have Grace Ball for some special need kids. We make the field handicap accessible, and we have 2 nights of Grace Ball, which is amazing. That's a whole nother conversation, but. So, yeah, the park is really busy out there, and we're having a lot of fun this year so far.
Joe Gustafson joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. And Claremont, obviously, it's a very, very small community, but this is, for lack of a better term, kind of the lifeblood of your summers up there, isn't it? I mean, this is one of those things that's very, very community-oriented. It's a small town. How much pride do you guys just kind of take in that program and growing the sport of baseball up there?
It's pretty much kind of defines the town. Baseball kind of always has. And I was just kind of totaling up with all the different teams that we have. There's I've come up with 15 different coaches at the different levels, and then we have a committee of nine, the summer Claremont Summer Rec Committee, and then we have, you know, the concession stand, getting the field prepped. They're all different people as well. So you could name at least two dozen individuals that help with the program, keeping it rolling. I just coach the older ones is what I'm involved with currently. But it's volunteer based. It's all volunteer. Kids don't pay for anything. Once they get to the older levels, they can pay for like a personalized jersey and things like that. But it's no cost to the kids. We have a big fundraiser in the fall, another fundraiser throughout the year, and then the community is incredibly generous whenever we're looking at upgrading. Like, we just upgraded our bleachers and the batting cage. We just put concrete and turf on our batting cage. We reach out to the community, and within a week we had what we needed and then some. So very generous. They know how important baseball is to the city of Claremont and has been for, you know, 130 years. So we take a lot of pride in it.
Is your roster of kids kind of made up of kids kind of all around the area then? I mean, you know, Langford, things of that nature. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so our Langford would be like the home, like the base school. And we have kids that are homeschooled, you know, in the area that come there, quite a few. We have, Britton has a great baseball program right now. But we do get some Britton kids with Claremont ties that come. Groton obviously has a great baseball program. We also get some kids like from Andover and Groton that come, just kind of live in the area. We've had some Columbia kids that play. We get kids from the Eden Roslyn area. You know, the Langford area school district covers a pretty big area. And I think we added it up one time. We had kids from 10 different towns that were playing there for, you know, for whatever different reasons they have a connection to Claremont. And so, yeah, it's a pretty big area that we pull from. And in the Pee Wee Midget age group, we play in the Three Rivers League. And that is Columbia and Bath and Leola and Frederick and Claremont and Andover. And those towns have the Pee Wee Midget, which is the 11U and the 13U. And it's a very competitive, it's a fun league. We have an end-of-the-year tournament, and it's just a really good stepping stone up to older baseball. But that league has been a really good, successful league for years now. And those parents are very involved. We also get to play in Columbia, which is the Taj Mahal of Little League Baseball in South Dakota. If you haven't been by there, it's a great facility to play in. So facilities are good. Concession stands are good. It's just a fun trip.
Can you go a little deeper in there? And why is that the Taj Mahal of baseball? We're talking again with Joe Gustafson on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I can't say that I've ever been around that spot. What about it makes it unique and kind of special?
Well, Columbia always had a nice little ballpark right along the confluences of the Jim River and the Elm River, but with all the flooding, it basically wiped out their field. And they had a benefactor that donated to basically build a new Little League field in Columbia there up on the edge of the ridge on the south side of Columbia. And people from Columbia can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's upwards over $1 million baseball field. And it's brand new. It's great. They did a great job. It's specifically for Little League. And it's a really nice place. It's always been a great community for baseball, supporting the Columbia Comets there for Little League. But their new facility is great. It's a great place to have end of league tournaments and things like that. But yeah, and then across the street from there, they upgraded their city park. So it's worth a drive to check out that facility. It's the same kind of facility you'd find in Sioux Falls or Minneapolis. It's just a really nice park down there.
Speaking of facility, I mean, you guys got a unique spot to watch a game. I know when I did a couple games out there, you got the new press box up there, which is pretty nice. Or that's going on. You mentioned the batting cages and things of that. Also, how's the field holding up? It looks like you guys got hit pretty hard with some rain there on Thursday evening.
We did. We got 7 inches of rain in Claremont. I think officially 7.06 inches of rain. So it was raining Thursday. We missed the Legion game that we're over in Sisseton. We didn't get to play that. And then the games on Friday, we could not get the water pumped off the field. but by Saturday the field was dry. So tonight we play Wynn, Warner Ipswich Northwestern, in a 14U game. It's 5:30, first pitch, and field looks great. So it's sandier ground. It's made to take a little bit of water. We know how to move water in Claremont, so we'll play ball.
Wow, good for you guys. Joe Gustafson joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Can you kind of unpack your Legion squad here a little bit? Who are some of the key guys on your squad who are having some really, really good years? I know, like you mentioned, you've got a lot of different programs, the 14U, the Legion, the softball squad on the girls' side of things. But for specifically that Legion squad, who are some of the young men and that are kind of making some plays out there that are off to a good start this year?
Well, it starts with our oldest kid, our leader, Colby Dowen, which you know from Aberdeen Central. He lives in Langford. He's been playing honker ball for years, and he's a great. I don't know of a better center fielder defensively in the state. He can get anything. He's the old saying that the only thing that falls out there is raindrops. Is Colby? He does a great job out in the field, and he's been hitting the ball really well. And we've got Grant Cutler. Over here, we got several Cutlers from Claremont playing over here, and they've been great defensive specialists. Chris Cutler, Nick Cutler, those three brothers that play on that Legion team are great. Renan Bruns defensively has been helping us out, another good kid out there. Just a lot. We got some kids from Andover playing on our Wes Morehouse and Bentley Zur, and Corbin McCain has really been hitting the ball really well. We've been really impressed with him. Yeah, we just got there's a lot of talent. It's a matter of putting them all in the position where they can be successful. So it's a young season. We play for the end of the year, not necessarily the beginning of the year. So we're learning a lot as we go, where everybody can go, and getting the arms in shape is the big thing. We don't have the spring ball. We don't have the high school baseball over here. So a lot of the teams we play, a lot of guys are in mid-season form right now with their pitching, which we're not, but you know, we will become July.
Joe, is your son still playing, or is he too old now? I know he was a big
part. He's too old. He just finished his junior year at SDSU, and he's helping the coach, though. So he's one of the coaches that really helps out. So that's fun. That's fun to be able to coach with your son, and Ben does a great job game management, positioning players, and things like that. So he's a part of the program as well. It's been fun.
Again, Joe Gustafson here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and I guess final one before we get you out of here. You mentioned how big of a sport it is up there, softball there too, to kind of have that lifeblood of the small community in the summertime. And you said you got some fundraisers and that sort of thing. Let's say some people forget to write a check or something like that. How do people donate to Claremont baseball and the softball programs before the season ends?
Well, I guess we don't really operate that way. We usually do like a pizza fundraiser. And then in October, November, kind of around that time frame, we have a big fundraiser at the Legion Hall, and that's just a good time for everybody, and we raise a lot of money at that. So, but yeah, if anyone was looking at our Claremont Summer Rec, they could find us. I guess we don't really have a website you can go to or anything like that. They could just track somebody down. Everybody knows somebody from Claremont. They could track us down.
Sure. You never know when someone's listening to a show like this, or just things percolate and word gets out, and they're like, hey, I'd just like to donate. So there you go.
Hey, Coach, are there more Cutlers coming through the program? I mean, you mentioned you got three. I know Will, that was four. So, I mean, that's kind of pretty cool, all the brothers playing together there.
Oh, yeah. Yep. There's brothers and sisters also playing as well, too. So, yeah, they're coming through the program and doing really well. They can really hit the ball. So, yeah, they're exciting to watch as well. So. We'll be a Legion team, just looking down the road here. We're going to play at the Milbank Heritage Legion Tournament starting Thursday, and we're excited about that. That's the Big 12 team tournament over at the new field over in Milbank. So we're excited to be a participant in that. We've been going to the Milbank Legion Tournament now for several years, so they invited us over to that bigger tournament, so that's going to be fun. So
very cool.
They can always track us down in Milbank.
No doubt about it. Well, Joe, continued success. Thanks for being a part of the program today, and thanks again for doing this. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for all you guys do. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. Joe Gustafson here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. That was a really fun discussion, talking about a little small-town baseball that typically, you know, a lot of people might not think of.
No, and like I said, I've had the opportunity to call some of their games. They got the cleanest jerseys I've seen in all Legion baseball. They're like yellow and yellow and green pinstripes with honkers across the front. Okay. They are clean jerseys. I'm a big fan.
Yellow and green.
Yeah. So it's like it's white. The jersey's white, but instead of like the pinstripes being like Yankee pinstripes, they're like yellow and green.
That's kinda interesting. Cool. That is interesting.
Yeah. No, but every time I've done a game there, just incredible hospitality. It's been a little bit, obviously, since I've been here in Aberdeen. But yeah, no, he's awesome. And I think they're looking for more numbers, I think. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they've fielded, you know, a 19U team before. So I think more kids trying to get there and start playing. And I learned Colby Dowland's playing there. That's pretty cool, huh?
That's all right. Absolutely. And for those of you that do have a little extra jingle in your pocket, hey, donate to some Claremont baseball. You never know how much, you know, a simple check for $100 or $200 can do. So continued success to that program.
All dirt field. It's
the way it should be.
It's all dirt. It's old school, man. I'm a fan of it.
No doubt. Joe Gustafson here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. The Smitties were in action this last weekend down south in Sioux Falls, and they put together three really solid games. Unfortunately, just not enough to get over the hump. And if you take a look at their record, obviously it's been unkind to them this season. But if you look at the losses they've had, they are oh so close. I'll give you the numbers coming up next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Glad to be with you on this day after Father's Day. Shout out to all the dads out there. Hopefully you enjoyed your Father's Day there yesterday, and you know, I hope you didn't even lift a finger around the house. My wife was like, you know, what do you want to do for Father's Day? And I was like, yeah, it's just another day. So we just kind of had a nice little Sunday, but not a whole lot going on there yesterday. But all the dads out there, a big shout out to you. So from this last weekend, the Aberdeen Smitties, they pieced together three, to be honest, even four pretty decent games as they fell in all four, unfortunately, to the respective squads. They fell to Shakopee in 10 innings, 9-8. They fell to Brandon Valley Post 131 in 7 innings, 3-1. Remember, that was the same team that ended their season last year in that regional contest. They fell to North Winnipeg 9-7. That was on Saturday. And then they fell to the Post 400 squad 13-3. Now, you just look at that and you say, ah, that's a pretty uncompetitive game. They were down 5-3 going into the seventh. So that's a really, really close nip and tuck affair. And for one reason or another, the Smitties just can't quite get over that hump. But if you look at their record, it's 1-14 this season. You say, boy, they've had a really, really tough go. And they have. You know, that record speaks for itself. But in 10 of their 14 losses, they've been by 4 runs or fewer. In half of those, it's been 1 run or less, which it's 1 run. 1 run losses. So they are oh so close, and I know the record isn't great. But, man, at some point in time, that dam is going to break, and the wins might come in bunches when that happens.
Yeah, they're playing with leads, and they're able to have opportunities to win. It's just frustrating that they're just not getting those breaks that they maybe have had in the past. I mean, just a brutal way to lose a couple of these games. I mean, you talk about the one-run games that they've had. I mean, all three of the four games that they played were right there to be won. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things. I mean, they've lost a game 2-1 this year.
Yep.
I mean, it's like whatever. They just –
Murphy's Law.
Yeah, they're competing really well. They're playing hard. It's just the results haven't been there for Coach Ganelli's squad, and it's got to be frustrating, right? I mean, you want to win, and that's obviously what you're there to try to do, and they've had tons of opportunities to do so, and it just hasn't gone their way this year.
And we were texting yesterday, and you said, you know, to be fair, they're a pretty young club. I mean, they are young, and this is one thing that more often than not always, goes along with a young team, is learning how to win. I mean, how many times last year did they lean on their senior and super senior leadership? Those guys are gone now.
Well, that's what I was just going to bring up. They had a ton of super seniors last year. Cooper Eisenbys. Mm-hmm.
Casey Vining.
They had Drew Saul Frank.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those guys were really good players. They were key contributors to last year's Legion squad. And you're playing probably teams that are older than you that have had a lot of experience. And now, obviously, you had the high school season, but maybe you haven't seen the pitching that you did at the high school season that you did in the Legion season. It depends on a lot of different factors.
Yeah, now Vining's playing for the Aberdeen Circus squad, and I think Saul Frank is too, if memory serves correctly.
Those guys were great players.
Yeah. Yeah, they still got gas in the tank for sure, and I'm talking like they're 40. but those guys are doing a nice job in their respective squads.
Doesn't Vining play at NSU,
Northern,
too?
Yep.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
no doubt about it. So it's going to happen at some point in time as the Smitties are right back to it here on Wednesday against Yankton post 12. And, you know, we were talking about this on Friday's installment of the show. Just get out of that first inning. And for the most part this last weekend, they did. There was one game they led 6-0 going into the fourth. You feel pretty good about that. I think we were even texting back and forth. We're like, hey, they got out of the first inning. They're going to win this bad boy. And I think as soon as I sent that text message, things went south. So you can blame me for that.
We jinxed it, yeah.
Big-time broadcasters jinx. But that's just it. Is they're not going out there and losing every game 18-0 or something like that. They're right there. Again, even in the game where they lose by double digits, they're down by 2 going into the seventh. So they're right there.
Yeah, it's either they get the pitching and the hitting. As weird as it sounds, you just got to put a full seven innings together, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. If you can get out of that seventh inning, have an opportunity, and they've had really good moments this year and moments where they've struggled. And I think Coach Ginnelly, you got to keep a positive light because, like you said, look at the games that they're playing in. All of them, outside of a select few, have been pretty close.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to be a problem for him. He is always a positive guy.
Yes.
And, you know, look at this last year with Northern State men's basketball. How many games did they win? 2.
2.
But Saul Phillips was always positive. I don't know how he did it, and obviously things didn't necessarily work out for them this last year, but there's something to be said about being an eternal optimist all the time, because as soon as you take a turn to negative town, you know, the guys are like, all right, I can feel it, so you have to stay positive, especially with a young team.
Yeah, a young team, you're dealing with 14 to 18-year-old kids. You got to keep them positive. You can't go into a game, here we go again. If you do that, you're not going to compete and you're not going to win. And they've competed very well, and I give Coach Ginnelly a ton of credit for that.
Check out the High Point Swim Meet. Those results can be found on our website, hubcityradio.com. And also from the weekend, we were talking about this with Olivia Braun a couple weeks ago. She was referencing the SDGA 2 Women Championships there at Moccasin Creek. She was so jacked to play with her buddy, Allison Meyerink. And she did that this last weekend. We'll tell you about that and how she did there along with her teammate. And also take a look at the Minnesota Twins from this last weekend as well. That and more on the Hub after this. Final segment for your Monday installment of the show on FSA. Once again, our thanks to Joe Gustafson talking some Claremont Honkers baseball and some softball there too earlier on in the program. If you missed that discussion, you can check it out on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page at the conclusion of the show. Well, we're going to be surrounded by some of the great ghosts of golf, past, present, future, I don't know. Being out at Moccasin Creek Golf Course today, I'm looking forward to it. They have that brand new clubhouse. They just recently redesigned that within the last year and a half or so. I'm looking forward to being out there. So should be a lot of fun helping out with the Boys and Girls Club. Yesterday, that's where the SDGA 2 Women Championships was yesterday, out at Moccasin Creek Golf Club. And Allison Meyerink and Olivia Braun, they would take Reese Jansa and Julie Jansa to a playoff where the Jansas would win on the fourth hole of the playoff. So really, really high competitive golf there, too. By the way, you had Emma Doerr and Megan Payne of Aberdeen, 3 under par. They were 3 strokes back of Jansa and Meyerink and those squads, respectively. Rylan Horning, again, remember, she was the Class A champion from St. Thomas More. She paired up with J.C. Pugh of Miller. That's kind of cool to see that twosome. And they finished in 4th place there. So some really, really high-octane golf being played there yesterday. And a big shout-out to all the local and area golfers as the Jansas, they finished in 1st place.
Yeah, 6 under there. And I wonder, was this a scramble? Do you think it was alternate shot?
I think it was best ball.
Best ball?
I think. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's what it was.
Yeah, cool. Meyerink and Braun, didn't we have her in studio?
Yeah.
And she said that's like one of her best friends.
So, yeah.
And that kind of cool how they competed against each other, and now they're teaming up. And I think that's kind of neat. You have the opportunity to do that in a summer tournament. I bet that was a lot of fun for all these gals to maybe team up with somebody that you maybe don't think you would have during your high school career.
I'm trying to think and put myself in her shoes. If I were to go up against somebody in, for lack of a better term, golf, and they take care of business over me in a state championship, I feel like I wouldn't be buddy-buddy with them because I'd be kind of salty about the fact that they beat me head-to-head.
Yeah.
But there's no ill will or any sort of animosity between those two. I think that's kind of cool, the fact that they're just like, yeah, you know, we were competing at a super high level against each other. We're battling. I guess what? Now we're best friends. I think that's kind of cool.
I feel like you see that in golf more than any other sport, I feel like. Even when you get to the pro level, you see a lot of guys that are just tight and friends. And I feel like you don't necessarily see that in other sports. I will say this, South Dakota sportsmanship is at an all-time level. When have you really ever seen in high school guys talking trash? You don't really see it that much.
No, not really. I mean, there's a little in basketball, a little bit when we go to the B and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But by and large, I feel like it's a pretty clean game for the most part.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think the sportsmanship, especially on the golf course, is just on a different level, and it's kind of cool to see competitors become teammates and things like this.
No doubt about it. Pivotal Game 5 upcoming tonight between OKC and Indianapolis. Keep on calling them Indianapolis. The Indiana Pacers. That's a big one. Now it's a best of three series. That series is tied up at 2 games apiece. Also, oh, by the way, you've got the SDGA Sanford series at Baker Crossing today. That's down south in Sioux Falls. It'll be at Elmwood Golf Course tomorrow, while the Aberdeen Circus hosts Redfield Dairy Queen for some amateur baseball here tonight as well. Twins lose all three against Houston this last weekend, but the good news is just about everybody else in the AL Central is also kind of having a hard time.
Yeah, they're struggling right now, but you're one game over 500. It seems like there's a ton of teams that are either 5 games under or right over 500. They got to turn it around, but you're in an okay position. No need to hit the panic button here for the Twins.
Todd Thorson joins us tomorrow.
Farmers, before you park your planter for the season, make sure it's field ready for next spring. Bring it to AgTegra Cooperative for a 150-plus point planter inspection and winter.